Dave McCann, BYU TV, and an old colleague of mine from, well, from Sports West days, certainly, and certainly at KSL Television. Dave, thanks for spending a few minutes with us here on the Morning Drive. Morning.
Hey, I had to be on in your last week. Are you crazy?
No, I reached out, and I love it when a guy gets back to me and says, yeah, no problem, when? And not to mention, when we get you on, you're a funny guy. There's news coming out of your brain, and there's all you check all the boxes, Dave. So
good.
Appreciate your joining us here. And I guess, you know, I don't even know where to begin. There's a billion questions around this, but you know, your finger's on the pulse at BYU. How transcendent has this buildup to Media Day been with Sataki, with Detmer, with the two quarterbacks, and I mean, all the stories and all the optimism, never mind the Big 12, what do they know? You know, they'll take a while, but they'll come a-calling at some point.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll talk about the Big 12 on Thursday during our State
yeah, absolutely.
Of the program at 9 o'clock on BYU TV.
Yeah, tell us about 9 o'clock is when you guys get going?
We get going with Coach Sitake and Tom Holmo. Taysom Hill and Tanner Mangum will be with us on that program, all the coaches. It's a great hour of almost an introductory hour of where we are in regards to our ESPN relationship, the Big 12. BYU hasn't said much at all
right.
about that, but we'll be on live TV, and I'm going to ask a handful of questions about it. So I think we will at least get inside the minds of Kalani and whether or not he's all that interested in it at this point, and certainly Tom, who's in charge of positioning the program to get in a league at some point, or you know, stay happily independent. But that one's on him. Ty will be there, of course, and we talk about. I'm going to ask him how many times he's changed his mind on the first play call, and I imagine it will be into the hundreds. But I think it's an opportunity for the fan around the world to lock in on this excitement of a new coach and a new staff with returning experienced players, and that right there is a very intriguing set of ingredients.
Right, and I think not lost on this whole process is that Bronco Mendenhall, while leaving for what he deemed was the next best move for he and his family at this stage of his career, left the cupboard full. I mean, there's a
yeah.
winning team there. Thank you very much, says Coach Sitake, and certainly Ty Detmer and the whole crew. There's a lot to pull from. But before we leave the Big 12 thing, I just want to ask you, because you know, you get tired of talking about it, and I had this moratorium and until they vote, and then I got caught up in it. And I, you know, at first I thought, well, they're gonna expand, and then it's a question of time and. You know, well, you know, BYU would have to be one of the two, you'd think, and so forth. What's your big picture takeaway from, I mean, you know, I heard dysfunctional, that word more around the Big 12 meetings than I'd ever heard it before. And, you know, the sense that, you know, Texas and to a lesser extent, maybe Oklahoma calling the shots. And, you know, I don't know what's going on. One guy said, well, it's the contract ends in 2024 with ESPN. That's the time when they might consider breaking those TV deals and starting something new. I can't believe that. But what's your takeaway on this, the madness that has become the Big 12 and their process?
Well, I'm not so sure the Big 12 is where you want to go.
That's a great point.
It's a league and a P5. And so, you know, the BYU fan that lives on the edge is just grabbing at that. But for a program, you know, it's with Oklahoma and Texas, you never quite know what they're going to do. And you're right. This summer has been clearly evident that league is messed up. and then all of a sudden Baylor stuff comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just the only thing that league has going for it is it has P5 status.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure. I do believe BYU is in a great position. With ESPN moving forward, if that's what they choose to do, or if they choose to join a league. And I do believe it doesn't have to happen by the end of this summer or all is lost. I think there is some merit to, like you just mentioned a moment ago, when the round of TV contracts goes up in, what did you say,
24? That's when the Longhorn Network in particular, their deal with ESPN
yeah.
winds down.
You know, and if you look for a pattern in BYU scheduling, they're scheduling out as far as they can, but not a lot of it past that year. And, you know, I'll ask Tom about the scheduling. Is it fluid enough? If BYU were to join a league, what would happen with all these games that are scheduled through 2024? And then I ask him if the relationship with ESPN would be a stumbling block to join a league. Some people think that is. And so, you know, what we're not going to get is, anyone holding out for a Big 12 announcement is going to be holding out for some time. But we will at least be able to climb into the minds of where BYU is, and they've been relatively quiet all summer because they don't need to do anything.
Right.
They are who they are, and what they do need to do is go into this fall schedule and win some of these big games.
Yeah.
And just let that, you know, you look at Boise State. Boise State still has national respect because they beat Oklahoma forever ago in the Fiesta Bowl. And then they've won some big games along the way, but I don't know if Boise State's great. They got a football program, and then after that, you know, I don't know why you'd ever invite them into the league.
Right.
But their football speaks volumes because they won some big games on national TV, and then they went and won the WAC and the whatever other league they were in before that, Big Sky or whatever, but Mountain West now. But I think BYU has got to just go out there and win some of these games and let that speak for itself. All the other stuff, any conference would want a player that fills their stadium as a national following.
Absolutely.
You know, the quirks that we've talked about, they're not going to play on Sunday ever.
Right.
And they're always going to be a religious school.
Yeah, the truth is most college teams aren't playing on Sunday. I mean, you know, that's a rare thing.
Right, not in football.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a non-issue for a football-only invite. As I understand it, I don't think BYU could be in a stronger position than they are right now as far as a school that's not in the P5, that matches the qualifications, plays a P5 schedule, and, you know, if they don't beat these big teams this year, their status is going to stay the same because there's no one else in better shape to get invited to join. But if they do go out and hold their own and win some of these games, if they go to Michigan State and beat Michigan State, it's amazing what that does down the line for the rest of the Big 12 as they're looking at BYU ranked 12, having beat Michigan State, and then going, oh, you know what, we just need to get them right now.
Right.
That's how they think. It wouldn't hurt them. It wouldn't hurt them. And I just think BYU's in a great spot.
Well, in that schedule, it's tough on the coaches and the players. It's a physically demanding, emotionally draining schedule right from the jump. But, you know, I heard Blaine on Sports Nation a couple of weeks ago made a great point. It's at Glendale. That's where they play Super Bowls. It's the Cardinals' home field. It ain't where the kids from Tucson play. And right now, BYU is selling more tickets, which, you know, that'll change. Arizona will have their group, but it's not a home field advantage for the Wildcats. It's going to be very much of a national stage, and you know there's going to be a lot of blue in that arena, in the Cougar blue.
I think it'll be the largest gathering of BYU fans for a regular season game outside of Utah in the history of the program.
Wow.
And it's going to be, and we'll be down there in all our BYU TV glory.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to be spectacular, and I think there will be more BYU fans than Arizona fans. The folks from Tucson, that's a long drive to Glendale.
Yeah.
You've got to really love driving at 110 to watch your team play. When I don't even know if they sell out their home games, but BYU coming to that part of Arizona is an event, and if Taysom or Tanner take the field. I think it'll be Taysom if he's healthy, and have Jamal behind him. Now, what Cougar fan does not want to be there for that?
Right.
It's going to be spectacular.
Right, and an opener. You know, you're saying, okay, you know, Arizona's pretty good, but they fired half their staff. Rich Rod looked at the defense, and you know they weren't very good at all. So there's a lot of unknowns there. It's an opener, which is sort of a great equalizer in many ways, and I mean, there's no reason why, if you look at the gauntlet that they're about to jump into in September, that is a game that maybe they feel like they should get. They almost got to, if you get that, then you go to Utah, That's a roll of the dice. That's going to be fun. The Utes, you know, what do they have on offense? They lost 95% of their production. They're going to be really good, and they're going to have a good defense. But that game, you know, that's a rivalry game. And then you come home for UCLA, and then, you know, it goes on and on. West Virginia, Toledo, and then the one at Michigan State, and then at Mississippi, Mississippi State's at home. And then it's Boise and Cincinnati. It's a gauntlet. But that Arizona game is gettable.
You know, there's not a game in September that's not winnable, where you just go, oh, okay. And once you get into October, you know, Michigan State, after what happened at Michigan, you just figure that's going to be a daunting task. It's certainly a winnable game, although Michigan will be favored. West Virginia, you know, they got a whole new thing going with a new coach at Redskin Stadium, so they're not at home either.
Right.
I just look back. You look at that daunting schedule of names, and you break down each team, and they all got their set of issues. I mean, Michigan State's going to be big and strong. They got a brand new quarterback.
Right.
If they get behind, what happens?
Right.
You never know. But if you roll out a senior quarterback like BYU's done over the years, and take them into any setting, you have a chance.
Yeah.
And here they find themselves in a situation where they. A fifth or sixth or seventh year senior. I can't quite figure out what Taysom is. But he's a man among boys.
Yes.
And you put him out there in that environment, he's not going to be spooked. And young players follow the leader. And when BYU's had their leader at quarterback as a senior, they've gone and done some incredible things. And it just lined up so far for, yeah, that's a big schedule. But you know what? With that guy, and that guy, who else would you want to go in and take that on other than these guys? And so for a first-year head coach and a new staff to have Taysom and Jamal and some of those others in that group, man, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of games where we go, I'm not sure who's going to win, but I've got to watch this.
Yeah, exactly. You're wired into the program, so you know a lot of the back stories and the front stories. What couple of three stories are you looking at as keys or as indicators or as, you know, I guess it starts with Taysom's health, so let's get that out of the way. But what other stories are you looking at as an indicator of where this team is going, you know, in mid to late August, you know, where they need to be?
Well, I think it starts with who's going to have the ball in their hands
right.
On every play, and it's not the quarterback, but the center.
Yep.
And is Karoma going to be the starter? Is he back? Or who is it going to be? And it all starts with that guy and the offensive line. And then once he hands the ball back, you know, we'll ask Kalani, I'll ask Taysom himself how his health is. I have a feeling that I already know the answer. And I saw Taysom the other day as he was going out to play 18 holes. And I go, all right, no one plays 18 holes if they have a bum ankle
right.
or a bad knee.
Right.
He looks like he's just a beast. And I know they had running drills the other day, and Jamal was second fastest on the team coming back from his knee, and he's bigger and stronger, and he's chasing Harvey Unger's all-time
yep.
record for rushing at BYU. So he's a storyline. Receivers, what are they going to do there? They'll have a lot of new faces coming in. But Tui Aki and his defense. Is it going to be the Kalani defense, or what wrinkle does Tui Aki bring, and how do those returning players in the Nakua and Warner and Longy and Tui Loma, how do they anchor this group that's going to have to hold its own against some powerful offenses? I think those are the storylines. But for our state of the program, a big piece of it will be, well, who are these guys? And Ed Lamb, what are you going to do? And what are you in charge of? And
right.
Ty, when you determine, are you going to be on the field? Are you going to be up in the booth? And how does that play get relayed into? And are you relaying it to a sophomore? Are you relaying it to a senior who virtually, literally could call the plays as they play?
Yep.
I always thought, well, if Ty struggles with the 25-second clock to get a play in, Taysom could just call his own.
Yeah, I got this.
What new coordinator gets that? I mean, it's just such a cushion and gives Ty a comfort zone of, hey, if I'm struggling over here, I know that this guy is just ready to go, so I think those are it. I do believe that the schedule is a key storyline, but there's no bigger story with that program right now than Kalani Sitake, and I think it'll be fun for people to get inside his mind and see where he's at after a few months on the job. He's done all those national tours of fan fests, and we were trying to figure out when the last time a BYU player was actually the head coach. And once we got into the 50s and 40s, we couldn't figure it out. But it's been that long since a Cougar has been the head Cougar, and everyone is just fascinated to see how it goes.
Yeah, and I think all right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back I'm making this up as I go along, Dave. You'd think I'd done radio before, but you know I'm. So we're going to step aside. That's it. We're up against the clock here. Dave, thanks so much. There's so much going on Thursday. You're going to be all over it. And then, the summer of Kalani and Ty, and then on into the season. Good luck. Enjoy it. And, again, I want to thank you from day one, when I first came to the market, you helped me figure out what was going on in the broadcast booth. And then just getting a chance to work with you at KSL again and just keep the good work up, and thank you so much for your professional and personal friendship and kindness and guidance. You're a great American.
Hey, best of luck to you in your global pursuit. couldn't be happier for you, and I will see you at the Winter Olympics in South Korea in a couple years.
Okay, look forward to that, Dave. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. We're counting on it.
Thanks, Tom.